B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
The family in Lake Tahoe, California, thought they sometimes heard a strange noise, like snoring, coming from underneath their home. When they asked neighbors to listen for it, no one else noticed, so the family ignored it. That is, until last week, when five bears that had been hibernating in the crawl space under their home woke up.
Oh, my God.
Five bears were living under their house, and they were snoring, and that's the noise that they heard. The family called an organization called the Bear League, and the group helped the family get the mother bear out of the house along with her four yearling cubs. Can you imagine?
Unbelievable. No.
That is terrifying. A woman survived off of a six-pack of yogurt and snow after being stranded in a California forest for 6 days.
Hell, that's a party!
Justin Lonick and Sheena Gullett got stuck in the snow on April 14th after they tried to drive off from a highway.
It's a good thing we brought snow.
To Little Valley, California on dirt roads during a snowstorm.
Oh.
The two spent the night in their vehicle, and in the morning, the battery was dead. They attempted to walk back to the highway, but Gullett began falling behind as the soles of her boots had come off.
Jesus.
Lonick continued to walk ahead, and eventually they became separated due to the heavy snow. He searched, but was unable to find Gullett due to the snowfall, so he sought shelter and built a campfire Saturday morning, April 16th. Lonick continued walking toward the highway, finding a gravel road. He sought shelter again that night, and on Sunday, April 17th, he finally reached the highway and hitched a ride from a passerby. Thereafter, he reported what had happened, and Sheena was stranded in the forest, possibly with their vehicle. The details of the incident were originally unclear, making it difficult for the sheriff's personnel to narrow down a search area. Officials said Lonick was not familiar with the area and the roads that they had been traveling on. So on April 20th, Lonick rode along with the sheriff's deputy to search the area and see if he could provide a better location as to where he and Gullett got stuck in the snow. A sheriff's agent, along with two U.S. Forest Service personnel, were also in the search looking for Gullett. And after searching for several hours, the sheriff's sergeant located the vehicle. Immediately upon his arrival, Gullett came out of the car. Officials said she was emotional but physically okay. And during the 6 days that Gullett was stranded, she rationed a six-pack of yogurt, eating one per day. She did not have any water and had to eat snow in order to get liquid.
Amazing.
She said that she saw the helicopter fly over a few days earlier. However, because she was in a heavily wooded area, they were unable to see her. She was transported to the ranger station to be evaluated by medical personnel. She provided the sheriff's office with the same details that Lonick gave on how they became separated, and she is now safe back at home.
I heard that she had forgotten there was a Primo's party tray in the trunk.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
The whole time?
If only she knew.
Man.
How about this? A pilot smoking a cigarette in a cockpit is believed to have brought down a passenger jet, killing everyone on board.
No.
According to an investigation, Egypt Air flight MS-804 crashed into the Mediterranean Sea in May of 2016, killing 66 passengers and crew. The Airbus A320 had been flying from Paris to Cairo, with the Egyptian authorities claiming terrorism had been responsible for the incident. An investigation has found that a fire broke out in the cockpit due to the oxygen escaping from the co-pilot's mask.
Yeah.
When it's believed smoking was taking place. The cigarette would have caused the oxygen to combust. 3 days before the crash, the pilot's mask was barely replaced, and its setting was left on emergency instead of normal by a maintenance engineer, causing oxygen to be emitted. Experts are not sure why the mask had been left in this setting. And according to the report, Egyptian pilots would rarely smoke. Just 2 months earlier, ashtrays in the same aircraft's cockpit needed to be replaced.
So they were smoking that recently?
Yep.
In a cockpit?
That is true.
The whole issue of oxygen and its possible... Well, this is what you get.
Audio reveals the pilot and co-pilot expressing that they, quote, both felt tired from the night's flight and lack of sleep. And experts said hours of rest had been respected for both. So that probably wasn't part of
the incident. Isn't the protocol that the flight crew usually goes out on the wings when they smoke?
Yes.
I'll be right back.
Respect for the passengers. Yes. All right, and then one more story, and then we will wrap it up. An unusual case, this is in Tennessee, lands a man behind bars facing charges for impersonating a Homeland Security agent. The case is centered around a fox known as Lulu that Keith Redeker claimed is a federal canine.
A federal canine.
A fox.
Wow.
Okay. So the sheriff...
Chris, and a master of disguise.
The sheriff, Chris Davis, said it's very bizarre. The investigation began after the fox was shot and killed by a neighbor. Apparently, it was killing her chickens and the animal on the animals on the property there that she had. Davis
Agent
said.
Simmons, I'm responding to a report.
And that's when the investigation took another turn. Mr. Redeker had reached out to her and identified himself as a Homeland Security agent and that she was going to be in big trouble, that she had shot and killed a federal canine that was used in bomb detection and search and rescue. The sheriff shared photos.
And that's a TSA woodchuck.
Of the red fox inside a canine cage in the back of a vehicle and a service dog registration for Redeker and the fox that said canine search and rescue, canine explosive. So, according to the sheriff, this isn't the first time that Redeker has been in trouble with the law claiming to be a federal agent. He said he makes no bones about it. He will wear around a bulletproof vest out in public, and it has firearms instructor on it. He will present himself with BDUs with a duty-type belt. There's way more than meets the eye to this. Looks like he's been skating and floating and trying to present himself and appear as a Homeland Security agent in several counties across the state. Redeker faces criminal impersonation and is now out on bond, but more charges are expected.
It's so nuts.
Yep.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
I had debated whether or not to include this into the Bizarre File or not. I think I'm going to go ahead and do it because if someone wants to help this kid out and this family, I want the word to get out there about it, okay? Heartbreaking photos show a six-year-old boy from Connecticut covered in burns and bandages in the hospital after his family said he was set on fire by a bully in a horrific attack.
I saw the picture. Yep. This is horrifying.
Poor child. More of Dominic Krankel's body is now swollen and bandaged up after the boy suffered second and third degree burns to his face and legs on Sunday. Oh. His sister, Kayla Deegan, said her brother was playing in the backyard of their home in the afternoon with other children who lived below them. She said as soon as he walked down the stairs, the bully called his name and lured him over to the around the corner. And in a matter of seconds, he came back around the corner screaming, saying, "Mommy, they lit me on fire."
Oh, my God.
She said that an 8-year-old neighbor got into a shed on the property and he somehow gained access to some gasoline and lighters. And that's when the boy called Deegan's little brother over. She said what he did was pour gasoline on a tennis ball, took a lighter, lit it up, and just chucked it right at my brother's face and then ran away from him and watched him burn. Dominic was rushed to the burn unit at Bridgeport Hospital. Police said Tuesday they were investigating preliminary reports of 4 unattended children seen playing with gasoline and lighting objects on fire. Hospital officials said the boy is expected to recover. He's lucky to have survived the incident. But what happened to him left loved ones outraged, as you can imagine, because they said this isn't the first time the alleged bully has put him in the hospital.
What? Are you kidding me?
2 months ago, under the bully's mother's supervision, he was pushed into a wall and fell to the floor. And again, according to Deegan, the mother refuses to admit that her kid did it. Police,
why aren't the authorities stepping in?
And the state fire investigation teams are investigating the cause of the child's injuries as well as the incident. As of Tuesday evening, no charges have been filed, but Dominic's loved ones are calling for justice. So the reason I bring it up is the family is looking to raise money in order to help pay for the hospital expenses and also so they can move out. They want to be somewhere else. So
it's a shame they have to, but they have to.
If you want to do a search, the boy's name is Dominic Krankel. If you want to help out, but that's why I included that story. All right, something a little bit lighter than that, but interesting. Vince Wilfork won 2 Super Bowl titles with the New England Patriots, but apparently lost possession of the hardware that he earned as a result. Wilfork's son, DeAndre Holmes Wilfork, pleaded guilty on April 20th to stealing his father's Super Bowl rings, along with other prized possessions of the former Patriots defensive tackle.
He traded them for magic beans, right?
No. According to documents, Holmes Wilfork stole about $400,000 worth of jewelry, including the 2 Super Bowl rings, several AFC championship rings, and his 2001 Miami Hurricanes national championship ring, and sold it without his father's permission.
Did his dad turn him in?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. So Wilfork, who recently was named a Patriots Hall of Hall of Fame finalist, was one of the most prolific, impactful defenders of the Bill Belichick era. The good news for Wilfork is that he's getting everything back. Court documents show the jewelry was ordered to be returned to Wilfork after his son pleaded guilty to felony theft of property on April 20th. So maybe he sold it to a pawn shop or something like that.
Right, a dealer or something.
Yeah, so they were able to track it down. But could you imagine? All right, try imagining this. You're sitting on the couch watching the Dallas Mavericks play the Utah Jazz in the NBA playoffs, and you leave your spot for 10 minutes to eat some pizza. When you come back, there's a coiled-up rattlesnake on the very couch you were just sitting on. And it's not just staring back at you, but
you
it's...
You just missed a sack.
But it's rattling, too. So Jacob Gambler of Decatur, Texas, knows his experience firsthand, and he shared to social media the harrowing video that showed his encounter with a highly venomous snake, which
I got money on this game.
claimed his family's couch during Game 3 of the Mavericks Jazz series last Thursday night. And you can hear his daughter on the video saying, "Do not get close to that thing."
Yes.
"Oh, my God, Dad, stop," she says, as it was rattling his tail because he was getting closer to it. Gamble posted the video of the rattlesnake in a popular private North Texas Facebook group called "What Kind of Snake Is This?" And it quickly went viral from there.
How did it get into the house and up onto the sofa without being stopped along the way?
They were watching the game outside, sitting on the couch in his family's open back patio area when his daughter came home. And at that point, the Gamble family all went inside to eat. And when they finished, Gamble said they came back outside to the patio to find the rattlesnake sitting in their place.
Did he call fives when he got up?
Maybe he did. According to Gamble, he shot and killed the venomous rattlesnake before disposing it later that night. Nick, like you were saying, your parents do in Colorado.
Yeah.
You kill them. They're not endangered, and they could be dangerous. So, wow. An Illinois man found a 1950s McDonald's hamburger and half-eaten fries in his bathroom wall as he and his wife were working on renovations.
That's where my burger's on the wall.
Rob Jones said that he and his wife were removing a toilet roll holder, and they came across a cloth inside a wall. They pulled it out. They found McDonald's food from the 1950s wrapped inside of it.
This happens because a guy who does work at my house named Mark, he was talking about a construction thing that happened, and they opened up like a wall or something and found lunch remains of the crew that worked on it.
Yeah, wow. They'll just throw seal stuff in there and seal it up. So Jones said despite the fries' age, they didn't smell at all.
Wow.
And he also posted photos of the meal on Reddit where some users jokingly asked how the meal tasted and another used the term forbidden fries. So there you go. That's what we have.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File Podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.